We are called to worship the Lord. We are called to praise Him, adore Him. We are called to love Him and serve Him. But you know and I know that there are times in the Christian life where we do not feel like adoring Christ. We do not feel like loving Christ. The flesh gets the best of us. The world distracts us. And we become downcast and discouraged. And so much so that we feel that our worship is dry. When we come to Psalm 77, we see a great man of God who is in that situation. This is a man who has believed on the coming Messiah. He is a believer. He lives in Old Testament time, but he believes in the promised seed, the proto-evangelium, the first instance of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15. And he's believing that a Savior will come for him specifically and individually. And so, in a sense, here he is, as a believer, seeking to worship the Lord. But his worship is dry. And he's not only a believer, he is a leader in the nation of Israel. His name is Asaph. And Asaph is one of David's choir director. He is a musician. So of all people, surely Asaph should be an example of what the Christian life looks like. He should be an example of the joy of the Lord. He is before people. He is leading others in the praise of God. And yet his very soul seems dead. Have you been there before? I most certainly have. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, all of us have. So what are we to do in those times? How are we to respond? Well, Asaph teaches us here in Psalm 77. Let's read it. If you will, follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of all Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw Thee, O God, the waters saw Thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of Thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lighted the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest Thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. If you will, look at verses 1 through 10 as we consider Asaph's perturbed worship. That's Asaph's troubled worship. He begins by saying in verse 1 that he is a man who is a man of prayer. He cries unto God with his voice. And in the day of trouble, he seeks the Lord. And so this is commendable. Asaph is one who diligently worships the Lord. He is one who prays. He is one who seeks the Lord through the reading of Scripture. Yet he is troubled. And he is troubled in the night seasons. And these troubles cease not. And the Bible says in verse number 2 that his soul refuses to be comforted as he seeks to comfort others with the songs of praises to God. His soul is refusing to be comforted as he thinks upon God, as he remembers who God is. The Bible says he is troubled. He complains and his spirit is overwhelmed. He says to God that God is holding his eyes waking. He cannot sleep. He wrestles upon his bed. He tosses to and fro. He says that he is so troubled that he cannot even speak. He's so distressed. He doesn't know what to say. Out of fear that he might say something sinful. Out of fear that he might blaspheme the name of his God. But he is in a deep ditch and he cannot get out. And he does right. And verse 5 says, he considers the days of old. He looks back at the blessings of God, at the years of ancient times. He remembers God's blessing to Israel, that they were a chosen nation. And that God in his grace raised up Abraham and Abraham Isaac and then Isaac Jacob. And then God delivered the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage. He calls these things to his mind. He calls to remembrance songs in the night. He communes with his own heart. And his spirit makes diligent search. But look at verse number 7. He feels cast off from the Lord. Though he remembers, though he is seeking to commune with God with his heart, and he is diligently seeking after righteousness, he feels that God has cast him off. He feels that God has been no more favorable to him. Verse 8, he feels that the mercy of God is clean gone off forever. And this is a difficult state to be in. And perhaps it was the enemy of our souls seeking to bring him down. The adversary, the enemy, Satan knows that if he can get to a leader, he can get to the people. So perhaps Satan is trying to weaken the soul, the spiritual life of Asaph, so he can weaken the spiritual state of Israel. He's as a roaring lion, the devil is, and as the roaring lion, he seeks to devour whom he will. He is relentless. He never gives up. And Asaph is trying to be faithful to his biblical responsibilities, and yet he feels that God is not there. He feels that he is praying and that he is praying to the wall. He goes to the Scripture and it's dry. They're just words on a page. He feels forgotten. The Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us, but he just doesn't sense that. He's going through the motions mechanically. There's no life, no joy, no comfort. It's dry and dead. Notice what verse 10 says. He says, "This is my infirmity. This is my sickness. I'm in a great deal of trouble. This is a place that I don't want to be. Seeking the Lord and not finding Him. Being faithful to what the Lord wants me to do and feeling like He's not there." And Asaph hasn't been the only one to feel this. As we consider the history of Israel, we remember the account of Moses. And Moses being so done with ministry, and Moses being so frustrated with people that Moses cries out to God for God to kill him. We see this also in the case of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's preaching, and he's preaching faithfully. He's preaching a message of judgment to the rebellious southern nation of Judah, and he's doing what God wants him to do. And ministry is not always fun. And he's calling out the hard hearts and stiff necks of the people. He's calling out the idolatry of the chosen nation of Israel. And there's no results. There's no fruit. There's no repentance, no faith in the Messiah, no revival like the day of Pentecost. And Jeremiah says, I'm done. My heart is weary. I cannot take it anymore. Elijah the same. Elijah has been faithful preaching and traveling and training preachers. And after preaching on Mount Carmel and approaching the false prophets of Baal, he enters into a cave, and in that cave he feels lonely. In that cave he feels that he's the only one that is zealous for the things of God, and there he asks God to take his life. Job is so filled with distress. Job, having lost his children, having lost his estate, having lost his health, having heard his wife tell him to curse God and die, Job desires to die himself. Cursed be the day that I was born. So as we look at Asaph, we see that he is not lonely in the sense of the only one who's ever gone through this perturbed worship. If we took a look in the mirror, and if we considered our own hearts, we would have to say that there are times of emptiness in our own soul. We go to church, we sing the praises, we pray, we go to the prayer meetings, we seek to meditate in the Word day and night, and yet it's dry. There's no life. There's little hope. There's little fruit. There seems to be more apathy. There seems to be a great distraction. And we want to seek the Lord, and yet we are busy doing a thousand things, and our worship is trouble. And we wonder why. And the question I want to answer is, what should we do in such times? So it's the reality that all of us have gone through this, and all of us will go through this at some time, but how must we respond? What must we do when we face these seasons of apathetic worship, the seasons of troubled worship, these seasons where God seems so distant? The preacher says that God is a God who's personal, and we know it theologically, but we don't feel it within our souls. Not that we are leaning on feelings alone, but we want to know something of Moses when Moses was on the mount and he saw the glory of God. We want to know what Paul says when he says, and to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And we read of the revivals and we hear of the Spirit descending mightily upon individuals and groups of individuals. And we long for that, but we seem so far away from that, it seems like it will never come. What do we do? How do we respond? Well, he gives us the answer in verses 10 through 20. He responds by first acknowledging that he is not in the right place. He begins by acknowledging that he has a problem. He begins by acknowledging that his worship is out of tune. Do you see it? Verse number 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my problem. My problem is I am dry. I'm seeking to do what God wants me to do, but I cannot find Him. And this is the right place to start. The right place to start is acknowledging that we are distant from God and that we do not know Him as we should. That we are distracted and that we are apathetic. And we must begin by being honest with God. God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts afar off. So we might as well be honest with Him. We cannot hide from Him. And God wants us to come to Him in humility and honesty. And so we need to go to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I am seeking You. but I'm dry. Lord, would you fill my cup? Lord, I'm bothered as I seek to draw near to you. And James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I'm seeking to draw near to you, but it doesn't seem you're drawing near to me. Oh God. And as we look at the Psalms, don't we see that's the pouring out of the heart of believers. They're honest with God. They're transparent with the Lord. They're crying out, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is crying out and pouring out the soul to the Lord. So the first thing he does is he acknowledges that his worship is out of tune and he needs God to adjust it. And then secondly, he perseveres in remembering. Now, he has already told us, verse number 3, that he has remembered God. Verse number 5, that he has considered the days of old. Verse number 6, that he calls to remembrance the song in the night. And so he has been doing right. And what does he do? He continues to do right. Asaph doesn't throw in the towel and say, I'm done. I'm done seeking the Lord. I've tried it for too long. Now I will sit back and do nothing. No, he continues. Look at it. Beginning in verse 10, this is my infirmity, this is my problem, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. And here we see his tenacity. Here we see Asaph's choice. He is not going to give into his temptation. He is not going to allow the flesh to overpower the spirit. He is not going to allow the circumstances to have the best over him. He is not going to allow the enemy to win over the seeking of God. And see those two words over and over and over. There's a great sermon that we need to learn here. He says, I will, I will, I will, I will. He's making a choice. He is saying, I'm going to continue on, running the race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what does he do? He worships God even when he doesn't feel like it. And our faith is not based on feelings. If it were, all of us would be gone. His faith is based upon who God is and what God has done for him. You see that there, verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. So he makes a deliberate decision. He makes a deliberate choice, and the choice is to continue doing what he has already been doing. He continues on praying. He continues on meditating. He continues on seeking the Lord through the scriptures. And in that, he has a Godward focus, not a man focus, not a selfish focus. And this is where we need to be when our worship is dry. We need to call to mind the attributes of God. We need to lift him high and holy in our hearts and mind. And so we go through the attributes when our worship is dry. And in our prayer and in our praise of God, we say, you are the God of heaven and earth. You are faithful. And we say with Jeremiah, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We declare the greatness of God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We declare the mercy of God, and that the mercy of God extends even unto heaven. We declare the grace of God, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We declare the love of God, that we love him because he first loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a friend would lay down his life for us. So in those dry times, what do? Where do we turn? We do not turn to man. We do not turn to ourselves, and we do not turn even to the service of God. We turn to God and God alone. We enter into our prayer closets. We enter into the secret place of the Most High so that we might find the Almighty. We remember who God is, and then also, see here, we remember what God has done. So he declares God as the great God, and there's no other God but him. He declares that God is the God who does wonders, and then he says that he is the God who gives strength among the people. Verse 15, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lighted the world, the earth trembled and shook. The way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so Asaph gets his eyes off of the current circumstances and places them upon God. And in placing them upon God, he remembers what God has done. And that's why it's so important for us to read the Bible. All of this is history. That is, all of this is the divine story, his story. And we need to read it, because in it we see the power of God working through the people of God. In it we see when men are troubled, God comes to their rescue. In it we see God doing the impossible. And so we read it and we remember what God did with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We remember what God did with Jeremiah and Job, and we remember God's tender mercies toward Jonah, and we remember what God did in the instance of Naomi and Ruth, and we remember what he did with Queen Esther when confronted with wicked Haman, and we remember what God is, who he is, and we remember what God does, and in that we remember that he is the Almighty. He is the sovereign one who works all things out to the counsel of his own will. And he allows us to be tested and tried, not to break us, but to build us. And in this instance of Asaph, we see that a just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. Asaph has fallen in his worship. He has fallen in his prayer life. Oh, he continues to pray, but he's really not praying. It's possible to pray without praying. He is singing, but he's not really singing. It's possible to sing and not really sing. He is seeking the Lord, but he's not really seeking the Lord. It's possible to externally seek the Lord without internally having a heart that thirsts for him. And so he falls. But he gets back up. And he gets back up because by the grace of God, he's determined. I will. I'm going to get back up. And God's going to help me. And God's going to strengthen me. And I'm going to continue in the things that I know God wants me to do. We don't have to recreate the package. We don't have to recreate God's duties and responsibilities towards us. We need to stick to the basics. And in sticking to the basics, we return on the straight and narrow path that leads us to God. And if we would study the life of Asaph further, we would see later in Psalm 73 that Asaph would fall again. In Psalm 73, Asaph is perturbed by the prosperity of the wicked. And he says his feet are almost gone. His steps had well nigh slipped. He is envious at the foolish. He sees the prosperity of the wicked. He says there's no bands in their death. They're strength and firm. They are not troubled as the other men are. And he says, this is not fair. In our modern day translation, he looks at Hollywood. He sees the sports celebrities and he sees their mansions. He sees their cars. He sees their private jets. He sees their tropical vacations. And he says, I am serving the Lord and I am being troubled. I am being persecuted and the wicked are having the time of their life. This is not fair. He's troubled. His worship is troubled. Verse 13, he says he cleanses his heart in vain. He washes his hands in innocency. All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. Now here it is. Going back to that first point we mentioned, he understands that his heart is out of tune. My heart is grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Now his focus is turning off of his circumstances and unto the Lord. I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. My worship is often dry and dull. My spirit is uneasy. I feel that I'm in a slump. My heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then he says, verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And so what does he do? He continues to seek the Lord. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have drawn far from him, but I need to draw near to him. My worship was dry, but I keep need to seek him. So I end by asking, how is your worship? How is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what Christianity is. Christianity is a relationship with Almighty God. It's a relationship with the Savior. And like our relationship on earth, our relationship with God can grow cold. Your relationship with your spouse can grow cold and distant. Your relationship with your children can grow cold and distant. And so it is with God. Our relationship with God can grow cold and distant. And when we are in those places, we need to examine ourselves, strengthen the things that remain, repent of our coldness, and seek the Lord anew. And John tells us this regarding the church in Laodicea. Jesus says that they are of a lukewarm spirit. They're neither hot or cold. And God would have them to be hot and zealous for the things of God. And John calls on them to repent and to remember the Lord, to repent and seek the Lord anew. And so even this church grew in a state of coldness, but they were given the grace to get out of that coldness and to find him whom they love. Sometimes our worship is perturbed, it is trouble, but it doesn't have to stay there. We need to keep fighting. We need to keep seeking. Don't run and hide. Don't throw in the towel, but continue praying. Continue reading the scriptures. Continue coming to church. Continue coming to the prayer meetings. Continue coming to the outreach program. And continue in the things that God wants you to do. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for this humble confession of Asaph. And we thank you in your mighty wisdom. You show us the weaknesses and the failures of good men. And we understand, Lord, that the best of men are men at best. The best of men still struggle with the flesh. The best of men still have their days of doubts. And Lord, we can relate to that. Lord, I pray that you would revive our spirits. This is a day of coldness in the churches of Jesus Christ. This is a day where many are okay with just worshiping the Lord in a dry way. And I pray, Lord, that You would bother us and trouble us and help us not to accept mediocre faith. Help us not to accept what is standard among the Christianity of our day. But Lord, help us to be zealous. Help us to be hot and fervent in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be passionate in our seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh Lord, because You've told us if we ask, seek and knock, You will open the door unto us. If we seek You with all the heart, You will be found. And so Lord, perhaps there is one tonight who's going through a state of coldness, a state of dryness. I pray, Lord, that in that dryness You would pour the water of Your Word and revive their spirits. I pray that You would pour the water of Your Spirit and bring refreshment to hearts. For those who are in the wilderness, give them the strength and the ability to climb the mountains of God's grace so that they might find the streams of joy once again. Oh God, it is good for us to draw near to You. Oh God, our flesh and our heart faileth, but You are the strength of our heart and our portion forever. Help us to get the focus off of ourselves and to get the focus off our surrounding circumstances, and help us, Lord, to look to You, to keep our hearts and minds focused and fixed upon our Savior. We pray that You would extend to us Your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.